Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord. So I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, Happy Father's Day, right? So I mention it again, Happy Father's Day to our fathers here. And I'll ask the men for a second here, all of the men, and I suppose the women can think about this question too. What do you want? What do you long for? I've asked this before. I've invited you to consider this. What is your great desire? And the fathers, I can imagine, I can ask them, what do you desire for your children? Again, themes we've talked about before. What is your hunger, and what is it that you want your children to be satisfied with? I'm not a great scholar of anything, really, but particularly not of poetry, but I've read a little tiny bit anyway, and this is a rather common line by a famous poet, and many of you are already familiar with it, and I've mentioned it before again. And this is Henry David Thoreau said, "The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. What is called resignation is confirmed as desperation. From the desperate city, they go out into the desperate country." And so his point was that we have this desperate longing in us, and we go from place to place trying to find the answer to that. So have you looked into your heart well enough to know that you have that longing? And then have you really kind of come to the place where you think you know the answer to that longing? Now, I just quoted Thoreau. Now I'm going to quote Jim Carrey, okay? Now, Jim Carrey was not a poet, all right? But he did say something worth hearing. So what did Jim Carrey say? Jim Carrey said, "I wish everybody could get rich and famous and do everything they dreamed of so that they could see that's not the answer. I wish everybody could get rich and famous. I wish everybody could have the success they dreamed of, and then they would know that's not the answer." We're read tonight from the fifth book of the Bible. The first reading was from the book of Deuteronomy, okay? Deuteronomy is the fifth book. It's the last book of the Pentateuch. The Pentateuch is a very important section of sacred scripture, and Deuteronomy itself is important even in the Pentateuch. And it serves as a hinge to really the rest of the Old Testament, and also Deuteronomy is quoted a number of times in the New Testament and is quoted by Jesus in a very particular important circumstance. And tonight we read from a little excerpt from the Pentateuch. And Jesus quoted it. Do you remember? I know I'm asking you to remember a lot now. I've asked you to remember the Old Testament reading you heard a minute ago, and then I'm asking you to remember where Jesus quoted it, okay? But I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you the answer to those questions, but I just invite you to think about whether that it jumped out at you or not. But you remember that Jesus met John the Baptist in the Jordan River. He went down to the Jordan River and he was baptized by John. He came up out of the water. The Spirit descended upon him and sent him out into the desert. He went out into the desert to fast for 40 days. He's fasting for 40 days and he comes to the end of his fast and the devil appears to him. And the devil says, "Hey, Jesus, you're somebody, aren't you? You got all kind of power, don't you? Or do you? You're hungry. Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you turn these stones here into bread? If you can do that, why don't you eat? Turn these stones into bread, Jesus." You can imagine that he was hungry after 40 days and he's being tempted to use his power to turn the stones into bread. And he responds to that temptation. Anybody remember how he responds? What is his response? "Not by bread alone. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Man does not live. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So this was the reading that we had just a few minutes ago. Moses said to his people, "Remember how for 40 years, not 40 days, 40 years, the Lord your God has directed your journey in the desert to test you by affliction, to find out whether or not is your intention to keep his commandments. He therefore let you be afflicted by hunger, and then he fed you with manna, a food unknown to you and to your fathers, in order to show you that not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God do we live." That's where that passage is quoted in the New Testament. And why do you think I'm going on about that tonight when we're talking about the Holy Eucharist? Let me back this story up just a little bit. How long were they in the desert? 40 years. Where were they walking from where to where? They were walking from Egypt to modern day Israel. That's where they were walking. How long does it take to walk from Egypt to Israel? It takes about 2 weeks. So why were they in the desert for 40 years? Well, they got to the border. They were ready to go in to the promised land. They sent ahead a little scouting team. And the scouting team came back and said, "We can't do it. Can't do it. The people are too big. The cities are too fortified. We can't do it." So they refused to go into the promised land. And so God said, and you may think this is a little bit harsh, but really this is a lesson for you and me, okay? So God said, "You don't want to go into the promised land? You don't believe I can do it for you? You don't have faith in me? Then go into the desert. Spend the rest of your life in the desert. You'll die in the desert." Now, 40 years, I know many of you are already older than 40. Some of you are younger than 40. Some of you are double 40, okay? But nonetheless, for the biblical understanding, 40 years is a generation. It's an adult lifetime, okay? So that generation had to die, completely die out. And then a new generation, if you will, a regeneration, a new birth would enter into the promised land. Y'all following me? So the faithless had to die, and then the faithful had to live and enter into the promised land, okay? Now, what does that have to do with us sitting here today? Well, it has this to do with us sitting here today. We're all on our own little journey, aren't we? We're all on our own little journey, and sometimes it's a watered, well-fed journey, and sometimes it's a journey in the desert, isn't it? Sometimes it's a very difficult and trying time. Sometimes we need to exercise that gift of faith and enter into the new life that God is trying to give to us. Now, none of us in the present condition that we're in are really going to enter into the heavenly homeland that God has for us. That's not going to happen until we die, okay? But we are called to walk in this life right now, today, through our own little desert journey and be nourished by the bread from heaven of the new covenant. And what is the new covenant bread from heaven? What is it? It's not manna. It is the Holy Eucharist. It is Christ himself. It is the bread of the new life. It is the bread of the regeneration. It is the bread not of the faithless life, but of the life of faith. And so God asks us to receive this gift in faith. And Jesus tells us, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." And so tonight, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm asking you to exercise the gift of faith in the Holy Eucharist and let the bread of life nourish you. Did you hear Jesus say this? "My body, my flesh is true food." Now, there is food for our body, and there is food for our inner life, for the divine life, the life of God in us. And the Holy Eucharist is true food for that deepest part in ourself. And I asked you at the beginning of this homily, what do you desire? I asked you at the beginning of this homily to consider what it is that you want and that you want for your children. I'm going to speak to you for just a minute as a father, okay? I kind of play that role a little bit in the church, a spiritual father, if you will. Now on this Father's Day, let me talk to you, son. Let me talk to you, daughter. Let me tell you something, okay? I want you to listen to me now. If you haven't heard anything I've said, I want you to stop not paying attention and start paying attention. And I want to say to you again, you desire the life of Christ in you. Don't be faithless. Don't turn away from the promised land and go back and wander in the desert. Don't do that. Allow the life of Christ to dwell in you richly. Be fed by his word. Be fed by his truth. Be fed by the new life that God desires for you. Desire it, and it will come to you. Too many people are filled with the bread of death and live their whole life in the desert of nothing, going from desperation to desperation. And Christ is saying to you, "I am the bread of life. Come to me and let me feed you." And so here we are. And you're saying, "Father Mike, I'm here. Here I am. I'm at church. I'm here." We have a little problem, though. Maybe it's a big problem. of lots and lots of people that come on up and receive Holy Communion, chewing it on their way out to their car because they left immediately. Didn't even slow down to say thank you. Maybe that's not you, I know. Maybe you just don't believe. Maybe you don't spend any time in prayer. Maybe this is just another chore to be done. Maybe you receive Holy Communion with no faith. Yeah, you receive the bread of life, but it doesn't work. There's nothing, there's no traction in your soul. So we have to hunger. We desire that life of God, and God will come to us. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He's out searching for us that he may give himself to us. It's not sacramental magic. It's not like if I can eat enough Holy Communion, I'm very sorry to tell you, but I know people that receive Holy Communion week after week and day after day, and they don't have any love of God in their heart. I don't know why they're going through the motions. We have to meet Christ in the Eucharist with faith. And God will nourish that faith and give us this life-transforming gift. No, it's not magic at all. It's not eat this magic food and grow. It is meet Christ in faith, and Christ will nourish your soul. There is an unfortunate vast quantity of tangible evidence that there is a crisis in faith in the church. How we attend Mass, how we miss Mass, how we prepare ourselves to receive Holy Communion, how familiar we are with the Word of God, how much we study our faith, all of those things, my brothers and sisters. You know, I tease sometimes, and you'll maybe you laugh at me sometimes, and maybe you don't. You know, I could go on and on and on. I can stand up here and teach on and on about the Holy Eucharist, but I can't do that. I can't give you an hour-long lesson on the Blessed Sacrament every Sunday. You have to come yourself to the fountain of God's grace. You have to reach out and study. You have to hunger and thirst. You have to understand that desperation inside of you, and you have to start seeking the answer to it by God's grace. You hear me? And God will satisfy that desperate man inside of you, that desperation. And then you will have something beautiful to pass on to your children, to your friends, to your neighbors. My brothers and sisters, today is the feast of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You're going to come forward in a minute from now, a few minutes from now, to receive Holy Communion. And I have been praying for you. I have been praying for you that you receive Holy Communion and that it's a transforming gift. Not like a magic lightning bolt, but that it is a transforming gift. I have been hearing confessions this weekend, as I do. And many of the people who have come confession to me, you know what their penance has been? Their penance has been to pray for you. Okay? I've been telling them to pray for people that come to church that they would receive the grace of God's sacraments in their soul, that they would be open to receive them. And so tonight I pray for you, and I ask you to pray for yourself. I ask you to pray that you would have an encounter with the living bread of Christ, the gift of God. And don't expect fireworks. Don't expect anything magical. Just expect that God will begin to lead you to this deeper life, this greater gift. And don't turn away. Stay. Come Sunday after Sunday, faithfully, prayerfully, and receive the bread of life. This is what you were created for. This is the answer to the desperate heart of humanity. It is to be fed by Jesus in his holy word and in the Holy Eucharist. Tonight we celebrate the feast of the body and blood of Christ. May you be nourished by the life of Christ.